for the first question. How do you start a research project?
How do you start a research project? That's a good question. Am I assuming how do I start a research project, or how do you start a research project?
No, how do you?
Oh, okay. So, well, I've been reading the literature in the field for a really long time, so I'm pretty much up to date on what's been done and what's not been done. A lot of time when I start a research project, I'm going to think, well, one, you got to find something that hasn't already been investigated. You have to find something that's worth investigating, so something that you have to be thinking ahead about, okay, I'm going to write this paper about this project, and I have to be able to motivate the other people in my field to actually care about it and to deem it worthy of publication. Then at the same time, you have to be thinking about, well, okay, how long is this going to take? Do I have the personnel to actually be able to perform the work that I'm going to ask them to do in the amount of time that we have? So most of the time, I choose things that are the most likely to be published at the smallest amount of time that it will take to actually do. So most of the time, I'm sort of looking for the quote-unquote low-hanging fruit of things to publish on, or things to do research on. And of course, all of this is within my area of expertise, because this is all largely based on, well, I know what has been done, and so I know what hasn't. I know what has and hasn't been done, and I know what I'm interested in.
Mm.
You know, so that's, you know, so I choose something out of there that doesn't take too long, more time than we have to do, and that is doable with respect to whoever ends up doing the work. So it's a lot of, like, knowing the field, personnel management, time management, and interest of both myself and the field. But the fundamental thing is you really just have to know what, you have to do a lot of reading and make sure you keep up with what's being done in the field. It's also useful to sometimes know what people are, what direction the field is going, so that you know, or be able to guess what, think about what direction the field is going, so you know what people are currently interested in.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when you submit to a place, the reviews are somewhat subjective when you submit a publication to somewhere, so it's helpful if you are submitting something that is obviously hot right now, that a lot of people are interested in, just because you'll have a better chance of publishing it, just because they're subjectively they're more interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, as a graduate student, whoever your advisor is can only sort of help you find
that
direction. Yeah.
Okay. And the second one is that what specific tools do you use? I mean, for example, library resources, computer softwares, you know, different form of measurements.
Gotcha.
Everything. Yeah. You use statistics you use for your research.
Right. We use a lot of standard we use a lot of different statistical tests with my research. I think Guyana uses R. That's the software that she uses. That's one particular statistical analysis software, which is sort of more command line driven, so it's nice and it's easier to customize. We also use SPSS,
mm-hmm.
which is another statistical package that is all graphic user interface oriented, so it's very easy to pick up and learn. And the nice thing about that is you can go on YouTube and find, like, just type in, this is the test that I want to do, and then you'll figure out how to do it in SPSS. I have not looked for R, it probably still has that. In terms of development, we pretty much use this thing called Unity 3D for everything. And Unity 3D is a rapid game development engine. And it's a little bit different for us because we're not just developing games a lot of the times. We're also connecting them to unusual devices, like tracking devices like a Microsoft Kinect or a Nintendo Wiimote. Or we also have some higher accuracy commercial tracking systems that we use that aren't in this room, but they're at another place. And or we might have different displays that we hook up to it, so we might be using a head-mounted display or a projector or whatever we decide to do with it. But Unity 3D is very easy to learn. You don't have to be an awesome graphics person to be able to use, or a game developer person to really be able to pick it up and do something interesting with it. And it's pretty extensible, even, and also it's basically free. So you can get it for free, but when you get the free version, there are certain things that are disabled, but they're really just really advanced rendering options. So you won't have dynamic shadows, for example, in a free Unity program. But in most cases, you don't really need dynamic shadows, so, you know, who cares if it's free? I think what else do we use? I think we mostly develop in Windows. Why? I don't know why. That's what I was familiar with when I came to this place, more than Linux. And I guess some of the tools, some of the hardware we use is a little bit easier to use with Windows than. So like Microsoft Kinects are probably easier to use. I don't know. People use them on Linux. I don't know, but I'm going to guess that Microsoft Kinect is easier to use with a Windows machine than it is with a Linux machine.
Okay. And the third one is that, how did you gain your experience with various, you know, research tools?
Oh, well, the weird thing is the research tools, like the environment, okay, two things. Statistics, running statistics, designing user studies, things like that, that doesn't really change very much. So you really just need to like take some classes or, actually I never really took any classes. I just sort of learned through doing experience and making an awful lot of mistakes. Development tools change all the time. What's hot right now is everybody uses Unity for everything because it's really easy. In 5 years it'll probably be different. So I would say probably, where did I originally learn about Unity, I think? It must have been word of mouth by just other colleagues in the field that were like, hey, check this out, it's really easy to use. But yeah, the basic research methods and statistics and things like that we use don't really change. They're always the same, pretty much. But the tools that we use to actually implement our environments and programs, so it changes all the time. I mean, not all the time, but I imagine we'll be using Unity for a while, but there'll be something better that comes out later, I'm sure.
And the fourth question, what are some important experiences you suggest for beginner research?
Go and talk to professors and ask them, if I wanted to do research in your field, what are the kind of major papers I should read? And then I'll give you a list of like, you know, five papers or something. So when you're first starting out, it's a good idea to get, if you don't already know what you want to do, you know you want to be in computer science, but you don't know what sub-area of computer science you want to be in, because they're all very different, then go and talk to professors and look at some research and choose the one that you find to be most exciting to you personally. Because doing a PhD takes a long time, and if you don't like what you're doing, it's going to be really, really, really painful. And I always tell people, if you don't like the if you're not enjoying the research you're doing as a PhD student, you're in the wrong field. You chose the wrong field. You should choose a different field. Another thing that somebody once told me was that it's a lot of times there might be a bunch of fields that you actually find really interesting. So maybe you choose the field where you find incremental advances very interesting. You know, so it may not be something big, maybe something really little. You know, I mean, it's like Chow came and showed me his little simulation today that he's making, and it's not like we've developed a brand new algorithm or something, but that kind of stuff gets me really excited, you know, even though it's not like a huge advancement of that little piece of what he did. I mean, it's cool. That little piece of what he did this last week gets me really excited. It gets me really, you know, it gets me really jazzed up about doing research and stuff. But it's not like a major result or anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And number five. you have wanted to learn how to become a competent, researcher, what specific tools would you suggest I work with?
Depends on what research you're going to do.
It depends on the field of research.
So first figure, so if we assume that you have decided what sub-area of computer science to focus on, not the specific topic within the sub-area, but like, okay, do I want to do artificial intelligence, or do I want to do networks, or do I want to do virtual reality? Okay, so let's assume you've chosen one of those, and it's going to be very much dependent upon what the tools of that particular profession is, which I suspect are all very different. Because I guarantee you nobody else at this, in this department uses Unity 3D for anything. But, I mean, the basic research methods, they're not all so different. Get familiar with Google Scholar and IEEE Explorer and ACM Portal and have access to papers and get really good. This is a good skill. Get really good at searching through Google Scholar. Because you may find you do an initial search and you're like, oh, nobody's done this before. And then you change one of the words in your search and find out that like a million people have done it. Then maybe that's not something that's particularly interesting for, or at least low-hanging fruit-wise, for you to research.
That's great. And